reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd, and he put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. And then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, it's another day, another miracle for Jesus. And let's face it, compared to all the other miracles, this one was a layup. Pretty easy. All you got to do is cure a deaf mute. It's nothing compared to raising somebody from the dead or multiplying loaves and fishes. So why does St. Mark bother to put this in? Why doesn't he just stick to the really biggies? You know, St. Mark was the companion of St. Peter, who was the first head of the church. So when he wrote this gospel, everybody says that St. Peter is the one who he was following his lead. St. Mark was following St. Peter's lead. You might say St. Peter was the publisher of the Gospel of Mark, and Mark was the writer. That's not too far off. So St. Peter had something in mind, and the Holy Spirit had something in mind when they included this miracle, kind of minor miracle, if you ask me. But there's a few clues that there's maybe a deeper importance and a deeper message here. And the first one we should notice, maybe it isn't immediately obvious, but it would have been to the readers in the first century, is that Jesus is in pagan territory. It's almost like he's on a swing of pagan areas because he's up in Lebanon. That's where Tyre and Sidon are. And that wasn't a Jewish area. And it says, then he comes down by the Sea of Galilee into the region of the Decapolis. The Decapolis was a region where there were 10 cities, but they were pretty much all pagan cities. So he's not dealing with Jewish people here. Probably the crowd and probably even this deaf mute were pagans. And he's going to extend his mercy out to the pagans. Remember up in Tyre, that woman came begging him to cure her daughter. And Jesus kind of put her off and said, you know, it's not right to give the food of the children to the dogs. And she said, well, even the dogs eat what's the scraps that are left over. And Jesus said, woman, you have so much faith. And he found faith among the pagans. In this case, it seems like there's a big crowd and they bring in the deaf mute to see what he can do, cure him. But I think there's something deeper that's going on, something that's more about what's inside a person rather than the external organs that need to be healed. And if you go back to the first reading from Isaiah, it says, thus says the Lord, say to those whose hearts are frightened, here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be open, the ears of the deaf will be cleared, the lame will walk, so on and so forth. Right? But the key is, say to those whose hearts are frightened, here comes your God. No. And that's the real issue here, I think, in the gospel. The hearts that are in fear. Hearts that are closed, hearts that feel abandoned by God. And this is really what's going on in the gospel. You know, It says something much more about what Jesus wants to heal. Because it's really not so much the ear that hears. We all know it from experience. You know, especially you wives out there, you talk and the guy doesn't listen, right? And the problem's not with his hearing ability, but what's going on inside the heart. And that happens to us all. That it's really the ears of the heart that matter. Whether they're attentive, whether they're filled with fear or they're closed. Because we hear and we don't listen. We don't pick up what the other's trying to say. The heart is where we truly hear. And Jesus takes this fellow away from the crowd. All right? He's not going to perform this miracle in front of a crowd that's hysterical and just looking for a sign. And they're going to go publicize it and make a big deal of it. He takes the guy aside and he goes through a little ritual, right? He puts his finger in the man's ear. And he puts his finger on the guy's tongue and he spits. And then he looks up to heaven and he groans. You see, that's coming from the heart of Jesus. It's coming from Jesus' own soul, that cry, that plea. To God, he looks up to the Spirit that has to change this man's heart. Because what's wrong with the man isn't so much he had a defective ear canal or eardrum. There's something deeper. The heart was closed. And when the heart's closed and we don't hear, and we can't pick up on what the other person is trying to communicate, then there's a speech impediment too, because the deaf usually can't speak very well because they can't hear themselves. So yeah, when we can't hear what the others are truly trying to communicate, we say the wrong things. Our speech becomes defective. We're missing the mark. And we can't be understood either if we don't truly understand. But this is what Jesus wants to heal. He wants to heal the heart. So the heart can be attentive and humble and charitable and pick up on the needs of others and what they're trying to communicate to us. What they're trying to express, which is so hard for them. That's where we're really deaf, is in our ability to really understand. To have that compassion for the other heart and what they're trying to get across. And we have to let Jesus heal that. God says to Isaiah, say to those whose hearts are in fear. Yeah, very often that's our problem too. We're afraid to listen. We're afraid to understand what the other's saying. Because it'll make a claim on us. We'll have to do something. We'll have to respond proactively. We'll have to engage. How often is that the case for all of us? That we're afraid to listen to somebody else. And this is what the Spirit of God wants to do. He wants to change our hearts so we're not afraid anymore. That our God is going to come to us and he's going to stand by us. And whatever we understand about our neighbor, we don't need to be afraid to deal with them. And so I think the question for us is maybe a few things. Do our hearts fear really knowing and understanding other people? Because we get isolated and our hearts get hard and closed. Do we fear really hearing God speak in our heart? And do we close our heart off? Yeah, the perfect example of that in the Gospels are the Pharisees who stick to their conventions and their customs, but they don't really listen to what God is trying to say. Yeah, we can get that way as well. And what do we have to do to really listen to God? Yeah, I think it starts with self-honesty, right? Being honest with ourselves. It involves silence, turning down the noise that distracts us, that keeps us maybe on a superficial level. Yeah. And then so many of us have a problem really speaking about God, communicating our experience of God. Well, for sure, that's logical, because if we don't hear him speak, what can we actually say? We don't have any words. All we can say is superficial things. But if we learn to listen to God, then he'll put those words in our heart. Do we have hearts, like Isaiah would say, hearts that are afraid to hear God's voice?